It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Theron and Mary Jo are here. Of course, week two of the Windows 10 era. And lo and behold, there's a new Windows Mobile 10 preview release. We'll talk about that. All the news. It's next on Windows Weekly. Stick around.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly, episode 426, recorded Wednesday, August 12th, 2015. Stumble Store. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Braintree. If you're working on a mobile app and searching for a simple payment solution, check out Braintree. With one easy integration, you can offer your customers every way to pay, period. To learn more and to check out your first $50,000 in transactions fee-free, go to BraintreePayments.com/Windows. And by Lynda.com, the online learning platform with over 3,000 on-demand video courses to help you strengthen your business technology and creative skills. For a free 10-day trial, visit Lynda.com/Windows. That's LYNDA.com/Windows. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show. It's been a great show last few weeks, actually for the last few years. Show where we talk about the latest from Microsoft. No, really, Microsoft's made this interesting.
Oh, no. What just happened?
Paul's making it interesting right now. He's in France, but apparently he doesn't understand that we can still hear him. Paul Theron is here from Theron.com and France. Mary Jo Foley from allaboutmicrosoft.com. We've been having a little...
New York.
We've been having little Skype issues going on with Paul. Are you in a new locale?
No.
Okay.
We saw your pictures of homemade escargot last night, and we thought perhaps you'd poisoned yourself, but glad
actually, by the way, I actually did have food poisoning over the weekend.
Did you really?
Yeah, so clearly to solve this problem today, I ate such things as steak tartare and escargot, but...
Nothing like raw meat from a country not the
hair
United
of the
States.
Dog, Leo. Yeah. Hair of the dog.
No, it used to be, actually, it used to be that when I was a young man, which is before either of you were born, that when you traveled to a foreign land, not just Mexico, but France, too, and Europe, you'd get sick. The first couple of days, you'd get a little dysentery, and then you'd feel better, and you wouldn't get sick again. And usually, that was like kind of your acclimation. I remember that very well.
This happened a week and a half in, though. I think it was just a random food item.
Yeah. Well, you know, in Lyon... They believe sausages should be stored in the sun.
Oh.
Yum. So here we are 2 weeks into the Windows 10 era. And I'm calling it an era because it's going to last as long as the dinosaurs did.
65 million years.
The last Windows ever. How is everything going? I've had I got the cumulative update.
Mm-hmm. Yesterday's one.
Yeah. So I was wondering because I thought, didn't I get this last week? So there's another one.
Yeah.
By the way, was there another one, or did they reissue the same one? Do we know?
It's got a different KB number.
It does have. Okay.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
This one, though, the one out this week is a bunch of security updates, and the last week's was more reliability and performance stuff.
I decided to change my Windows profile. Picture. Nice. Makes me smile.
Oh, what you can't see in that picture is the lederhosen you're wearing.
But you're right, I am. And you can tell from the smile that something's going on down below.
Someone's goosing you.
I'm loving Windows 10. The more I use it, the more I feel like, yes, you got it, you nailed it, Microsoft. Have there been, so these updates, are they fixing known bugs? Are people having problems?
Yes. Some of them are fixing known bugs. I don't know if you heard about the endless reboot problem that some people had. Yesterday's update fixed that.
What was the condition that was causing it?
Was that an Edge issue? I don't remember now.
It seemed like it was unique to certain people, right?
Yeah, I didn't know anyone who had it, though I did see people complaining about it. Yeah, it just it, when you were trying to update, you just were stuck in this endless loop where you could never. I, though, am having a very odd issue, and I'm not alone, I found out. Starting Saturday for me, I couldn't access the Windows Store anymore.
Oh, I saw your tweet about that, yeah.
And
what happens? What happens to you?
So,
how does this manifest itself?
Yeah, so when I try to go to the store, sometimes it says the server has stumbled, and I get a message. It really says that.
That's
I'm not
the new
that up.
human-friendly error messages.
Right. The server stumbled.
It stumbled.
Page could not load. Please try again later. But other times, I can get to the store, and I see all these apps and app updates in my queue, and I can't get any of them to start downloading.
Wow.
They're all just queued in there. And the queue is growing and growing. I think I'm up to 7 now.
Yikes, really?
I'm kind
of seeing individual apps do that. You know, and for some reason, you retry. It doesn't work. So you come back later, you know. And sometimes it eventually works. I've never seen the whole queue stick.
Yeah.
Well, and then there's another problem, which is somehow connected to this, which is some Windows Store apps that are already on my machine don't work anymore because of this, I think. So I can't even use Mail. I haven't been able to use Mail since Saturday. Or calendar. And Microsoft knows about this, and they say a fix is coming, that they're going to deliver it over Windows Update maybe by the end of today, hopefully.
Okay.
But
so
yeah,
I got the impression you had it fixed. It was fixed for you, but it's not. Wasn't
no,
it?
Yeah, I thought so too. I was upbeat that yesterday's cumulative update might have fixed it. And then once I tried it, I was like, nope, not working. I don't know how many people are having this, but of course, you know, when you tweet about it, then every single person who's having the issue starts tweeting to you. So you feel like everybody's having this, right?
Right.
But you're not Paul, obviously.
Nope.
Or Leo.
And in fact, when I saw people complaining about it, I started downloading apps and games just to see. You know,
and by the way, every time I boot into Windows every day, I will do Windows Key I, just to see. Are there any updates? No updates. Mm-hmm. So I just saw no updates. That's good. Let's see how the store is working. Yeah. So you say you can't update.
Can't
right,
update
so, yeah,
at
hit
all.
That little user picture.
Yeah, I don't think
it downloads.
I don't think I have any updates.
And then check for updates.
Yeah, let's see.
Mine are just sitting there. I see them.
Yeah.
They want to come to my PC, but they cannot.
Looks
it doesn't
right.
even start. It just says pending sometimes. Sometimes it says obtaining a license, and then it just sits there.
See, I'm all up to date, so I should really install something out of date.
Try installing something new.
Oh, okay.
How about Sway? Did you already put Sway on?
Oh, I haven't put the new Sway on there yet. No, that's good. Let's put Sway on.
Yeah. We don't really know what's causing
this.
Darn
it.
Oh. How about Cocktail else? Flow? Have you got that?
Yeah.
I'm just giving you random store apps.
Audible's already on there, yeah.
Yeah.
You get it would take a long time to download, but Asphalt 8 is kind of a neat racing game.
Okay. How about VLC?
Tweedium?
I should have VLC.
Have
so I'm going to install VLC here.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Yeah. And it's the real VLC despite the icon. Downloading, no problem.
Yeah, you know,
by the way,
crazy
even grabbed
is
Minecraft.
Why?
Yeah, Minecraft's $10 though, right? I don't want to spend money.
Yeah. Unless you already have a license, right?
Yeah, it installed. Yeah. No problem.
Mine just sits there. And I don't know. So, some people were saying cumulative update 1 was the cause, but my store was working after I installed cumulative update 1 last week. It just stopped working on Saturday. Huh. Just completely stopped. Huh.
This is how we can tell the saved from the unsaved.
That's right. That's right. You will not be. Not be going home in the rapture.
I think of all people, I shouldn't have this.
I know because you're a God fearing.
beer drinker. No, I was thinking more because I never downloaded a preview build, and then I just went cold
turkey. This is a totally clean install on mine.
Yeah. So mine was an upgrade over.
Well, it was an upgrade of a clean install of 8.1.
Yeah.
So
right. Right.
That's, just, I think, fairly clean.
Yeah.
Huh.
So I'm tending to think this is a Windows Store issue more than it is a Windows 10 update issue. But again, I don't know. I've asked.
Right.
and hopefully a fix will
magically appear. I think we were hoping this would be fixed by today, right? I mean, I thought this was going to happen.
They said 2 days ago, within 48 hours, so that should be today.
Well, right? Maybe. It's not over.
It's not over yet.
It's a good day to update. But all in all,
I'm liking it. I'm liking it, too. I'm still liking Windows 10 in spite of this.
I'm loving it.
You know what I like? I was thinking the other day, what I really like is I can customize it.
To suit your workflow.
Yeah. It's not just forcing me to do things a certain way. I feel like I can adjust things the way I want.
Yeah.
It would be ironic if you then configured your computer to always be full screen apps.
But you can.
It would.
You can, can't you? I mean, can't you do that?
Like, I don't know. I really like it this way. I don't know why it just wouldn't be that way for everybody.
I don't know if I could do this with my finger. Whoops. I like it that you can resize this. Can you get rid of the tiles completely or just resize this? You can.
You can get rid of all of them.
Yeah, one at a time. Yep. Yeah.
Unpin them.
Oh, if you just get rid of them, they'll go away. Nice.
Yeah.
Or you can make it more tiley, but still a start menu. I just feel like this is Microsoft. I don't know why they didn't do this in the first place. They really were kind of adamant that people had to use Windows 8 in a certain way. And I think they've eased up a little bit on that, right?
Yeah.
It's weird how people knee-jerk reacted to that in a negative way. If only there was some way to have foreseen that.
So unpinning all of those would just give me a normal start menu.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like a thin Windows, like an old school, Windows kind 7. Of almost like a Windows 2000 style.
Yeah. I like the most used. I think that they've done some nice things to the start menu to make it more functional. Yeah. And you can even turn this off. You can pin stuff here as always. And
you can change everything over there. It's pretty amazing.
Completely customizable. Look how it's alphabetic, which some people like. And, of course, because of Cortana.
Here's one, Leo. Yeah. Tap one of the letter headers, like the A or the C.
Yeah. Paul. Yeah. It turns into a keyboard, so I can go right to W, for instance, and see all the W apps. That is nice. Paul, yeah, I didn't.
That's from Windows Phone.
I didn't know. Oh, it is. Interesting. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how is that discoverable, do you think?
Accidentally, maybe.
Yeah, maybe you're readtherat.com. I don't know.
Yeah.
This and many other tips are in my new book.
I know. Yeah. Did you have the tip this week, Paul, about, I think this was a Scott Hanselman tip, Scott Hanselman from Microsoft. He said you can go into File Explorer and you can set it to default to My PC instead of Quick.
Months ago, Mary Jo. Months ago.
I loved it. I just did that today, and I was like, why didn't I do this before?
So that it will always start with My PC? What is that?
It's just more familiar to me.
Yeah, that's how I like
that's
it.
That's the way I think about how I look for things, I guess.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Somebody makes the point that nothing on mobile is discoverable. You just have to mess around with it. I guess that's kind of true. So this is like that. Nobody gets a manual anymore, but buy the book.
Yeah.
Please.
Paul's you know, the one thing, though, that is not customizable, I'm going to rail on this one more time. The Mail app has to default to conversation view.
Yeah, that should be changed. That should be
you
fixed.
You can't change it.
I don't
Why?
Like that.
Yeah. Why?
So I think the Mail app and Edge kind of suffer from the same problem, which is that they are new things. And in order to make it to market, they had to ship in this kind of incomplete form, you know. And so they are usable as they are. But, yeah, there are some goofy things like that. And, you know, these are the things they're going to fill in over time.
Yeah. And adding extensions to Edge. I can't wait for that.
All kinds of stuff. Edge is the more you use Edge, the more you realize, I mean, how many goofy little things you really kind of rely on are just missing.
Well, for me, LastPass. That's just
syncing favorites.
Yeah,
that's just vital.
Ad blocking.
Ad blocking. Yep.
X-name
I know, and it's ironic we both say that. But.
We were talking about this with as we often do with Steve on Security Now, and saw a report from Adobe that the number of people using ad block has increased 41%. Costs the industry about 21 billion.
In Europe.
Yeah, much higher in Europe than it is in the U.S. It's only about 11% in the U.S. growth. But $21 billion, they claim,
in revenue. So doesn't this sound a little bit like the software, the SPA, the SPC, or whatever it was that always gets up those piracy figures?
It's a made-up number. I mean, how can you say what the revenue would have been?
Yeah, but the argument seems to be, you know, if you guys would just stop blocking ads, then you wouldn't get malware. You know, it's like, wait, what?
No, that's not true. In fact, the ads is a big source of malware, unfortunately.
Sure.
But they all of this is going to threshold two, the big update, which is now getting closer and closer.
It is.
It's only, what, a couple? Is it October?
We think. We think it's October.
Yeah. That's not so far off.
We used to remember Mary Jo and I would always say, wait until July 29th. Wait until July 29th.
Right. Now it's wait until July 29th. October.
Now it's wait until October.
I disagree. I think Windows 10 is ready. I mean, they had to bundle IE in there, and most people should download Chrome anyway. Let's
By the
honest.
Way, this thing right now is in about 100,000 times better shape than Windows 8 was the day it
shipped. I agree.
I mean, these things are not comparable. This thing is in tremendously good shape.
Yeah.
So would you still advise people to use it in a business setting as of now?
I would.
No, because, I guess I would say there's no reason not to. The question, I think, is more like, should you upgrade from something else to this? And it obviously depends on the age of the computer and that kind of thing.
True.
If you have a working machine that's getting the job done, I mean, it's kind of a tough thing to advise at this point. Because Windows 7 is not teetering on the edge of, you know, not being supported.
Okay, but I'll make the counter argument. This can be used almost identically to Windows 7. There's not a huge retraining issue.
Right.
I'm more talking along the lines of, you know, going to the effort of actually upgrading those machines and making sure that it works in the configuration. I mean, Windows 10 is something you should look at. But, I mean, I think it's a little more longer term that if you're in a corporation running Windows 7, they're probably looking at new machines X number of years down the road, and that would be the appropriate time, I think.
I just keep telling people, if you're a business, I think I would say wait till threshold two to just let things iron themselves out.
Yes.
Like the
Service
store issue.
One, as we used to call
as
it,
always.
Right?
Yeah, as always.
And, you know, they don't want people to wait because they tried to get people to no longer think about wait for Service Pack 1. And Threshold 2 is not really Service Pack 1, but I still would say if you don't have to go right now, you should wait.
Yeah. Well, you're the enterprise guru, so I'll defer to you.
Also because some of the enterprise security stuff, some of it is not there. The business store, there till Threshold 2.
Sure.
The tools, like we talked about last week, RSAT's not out yet for Windows 10.
Yeah. Windows 10 parental controls now require every child to have his or her own account, a Microsoft account. I like that. Because how else are you going to get them into the Microsoft ecosystem? You've got to teach them at an early age.
So, actually, it's funny because I've gotten complaints about this, and I was just coincidentally writing about this topic, and I was sort of amazed to see this. You know, if you go into... The parental controls have changed over the years, and I can't remember the exact year and version or when things happened, but Windows 8 and Windows 10 are very similar. The same controls, basically. The difference is you can't create a local account for a kid, and you have to use a Microsoft account. Now, of course, the benefit of using a Microsoft account is that those accounts roam. And so if you, as one of the adults in the family, signs into a new computer, all those people in the family can automatically sign on to that computer as well, unless you go in and specifically say, I don't want this person to be able to do that. And it doesn't work on domain-connected computers and so forth. But there's a nice roaming capability that you get with the Microsoft account. But I got some, I guess I would call it, internal documentation about this and some other topics recently. And there's kind of a hint in there that there are future family sharing services to come. So, for example, we know that in Xbox Live, there's no family sharing. You can't, share an Xbox Live Gold account and app, you know, get, actually you can on Xbox One, but that's sort of outside of this, outside of a family construct. You know, in other words, you buy a game and you say, well, I want my kids to all be able to play this game. You know, there's no real way to do that. Likewise, on Windows, there's no way to share content. You know, if you buy a movie from the store, I want my kids to be able to see this movie. You really can't do that. You have to be logged in on the computer for them to see that content. And so I think that stuff is coming, and that will work within the confines of this you know, the Microsoft account requirement. But actually, the number one reason was no one was using parental controls. You know, it was just too hard to set up. And if you got a new computer, you had to reset up everything. And people were faking kids' ages and stuff just to get them in there. And they just wanted to do it the right way and see if it made a difference.
Yeah. Okay, so the issue is COPPA, the Child Online Protection
Privacy
Act.
That's one of them,
COPPA says that under 13, you have to have parental permission. But I guess the parent setting this up, does the parent then also have to create the Microsoft account, or are there special kid accounts?
Yeah, the parent does create the Microsoft account, and once it's registered as a child, it becomes very restricted.
Good. Oh, good. That's smart.
Yeah.
Good.
There's all kinds of stuff that is related to COP. I didn't spell out COP anywhere in the article, but for example, Cortana is not enabled for kids who are under 13.
Right.
The store will explicitly block content based on age rating, which was kind of problematic in the past. There's some interesting stuff in there. So they've improved it. I mean, I hear the complaints about Microsoft account. I think in this case, it kind of makes some sense.
Mostly because of roaming.
That's mostly because of the main roaming feature. But also the controls you get. They're related to roaming, of course.
Yeah.
In other words, the ability to go up to the web and one time configure those accounts and have that always apply. And supposedly on phones, too, although in the Windows 10 mobile builds we've seen so far, they don't actually have this capability, according to the documentation I saw. They apparently will.
Let's take a break. I know that you have been... I don't know. Have you been able to download the new Windows Mobile update in France?
Yes, look. Actually, that's probably what's screwing everything up.
Ah, well, I'll tell you what. Let's hope that it will be done soon.
It's installing. Actually, the download, it already happened. This is just installing.
Yeah, good. Well, by the time we're done with this commercial, it'll probably be installed. How about that?
You don't know how Windows Phone works, do you?
No.
I don't think so.
We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it in just a bit. Paul Thurrott in France, Mary Jo Foley in New York. We're talking, of course, about Microsoft with Windows Weekly, the new Windows 10 beta for the phone, our next topic of conversation. Before we do that, as long as we're talking mobile, can I talk a little bit about Braintree Payments, braintreepayments.com/Windows. If you're a mobile app developer and you want to include payments in your app, this is the easiest, simplest, most straightforward way to do it. 10 lines of code. Look at all the payment methods you get. PayPal, Venmo, Apple Pay, Bitcoin, credit card, debit cards, everything. Now, I know your customers are saying, hey, when are you going to put Apple Pay in? No, now. How secure it'll be? Perfect, because you don't have to worry about the integration. Braintree makes it simple. 10 lines of code. In most cases. In fact, they'll even do the integration for you. They have such great support. And developers love Braintree. I had some fun about a month ago now. Has it been that long? Yeah, I guess it was right before I left for vacation. We talked to the Braintree CTO, Juan Benitez. I asked him a little bit about how developers are taking to Braintree. And you know, it's really clear that when you're a developer of a mobile app, you want your app to sing. You know, that's your painting. That's your art.
Everyone wants to be proud of what they do. And so to be proud of what you do means you have a great experience. It also means you can provide the latest and greatest. The expectations for being on the quote-unquote cutting edge are higher now than they ever have before. And so, you know, we're trying to make that easy. And another example of that is even accepting Bitcoin and also accepting Venmo. Cool? Yeah. Venmo being just a widely, widely adopted peer-to-peer payments experience with millennials. So we kind of give you the core of your business, but then also make sure that the things that we think merchants want to explore and experiment with are also available to them.
Braintreepayments.com. If you want to know more, go to braintreepayments.com/windows and you can get your first $50,000 in transactions fee free. Uber uses Braintree. If you want to, you know, you want to see Braintree in action, Uber. And everybody loves how that works, right? Lyft, Airbnb, Hotels Tonight, Munchery. These are all Braintree clients. You've been using Braintree, I bet you, if you're a developer, because GitHub uses Braintree. So every time you pay your GitHub bill, braintreepayments.com. Secure, fast payments, superior fraud protection, and for you, your first $50,000 in transactions fee-free. Go to BraintreePayments.com/windows to learn more, play with the sandbox, see what your app would look like. BraintreePayments.com/windows. We thank them for their support of Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley. Is it done installing, Paul? I gave you some time.
Almost.
Yeah. No,
not quite.
No.
That's the Skype.
We what know do we, a little about it.
We do?
Anyway.
Oh, look at that. Yeah. So pretty out there.
Still bright. Still bright.
Lyon.
It's so bright out there. Wow.
You like the place you got?
The home?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the home is beautiful.
Isn't it always kind of a little bit of a crapshoot, though, because you don't know ahead of time?
We've always done really well.
It's a trade, right? They get your place.
Yeah. Yeah,
you
yeah,
get
yeah.
there. So there's some incentive
so
of them.
So they can, you know, trash my house right now if they want to be, yeah. I guess.
No, I think that makes everybody a little more
honest.
Honest. Because you're kind of holding their house hostage.
Yeah. Well, we try. So we don't always do this, but we try to meet them when we can. Mm-hmm. In this case, we didn't meet them physically, but we Skyped.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, before. And that was kind of cool.
I like that.
Yeah.
Are they watching your cats and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah,
really?
There was cats. They have a cat here that's an outdoor cat, so it doesn't really come near us too often, and it's not particularly friendly. But our cats are super needy, so he was saying, the husband was saying that when he sits on the couch with his laptop, the cat hops in his lap and goes to sleep.
Aww. But that's what I want with a cat. Of course, I'm a dog guy, but that's, to me, that's why I don't like cats as much, is because most of the time they kind of ignore
our cats are super effective. They're almost ridiculous animals.
Love
really.
That. I love a needy cat.
Do you want two of them? I got two.
No, I already have two needy cats. What do we know about preview 10512?
Yes, yeah, such a sexy name. 10512.
Better.
But you know, by the way, I just got to point out, Microsoft kind of likes those binary numbers because it's 10240, which is 1024 with a zero. This is 10512. I don't think it's accidental, right?
Incredibly random in this case, but yeah, that's true.
Okay.
It's cool though. Yeah. Today it went out right before Windows Weekly started to insiders on the Fast Ring. And now we're at the point. Yeah, I know. That was good, right? We're at the point now with the Windows Mobile builds where they're just trying to get it in shape to RTM it. They're just focusing on quality and performance, and they're not introducing new features now. They're fixing stuff, basically. So they said today's update has more stability and performance improvements. They've got fixes to things like apps installed on SD cards can now work after a reboot. Camera can now launch when the phone is locked. Notifications for text messages are back. That kind of stuff. No new phones were added to the preview today. So only the existing Lumia phones that are already able to download the Windows 10 mobile preview are supported. There's no new phones added today. And yeah, I think they're getting close to the finish line now.
No mobile hotspot, right? Speaking of close to the finish line, that bar looks all the way across.
Did it work?
Yeah, but it always does.
And then it spins for a little bit longer just to make you crazy.
It will get there. Uh-oh,
it's
something happened.
There.
Is that?
Did it say that?
No.
That's another one of those.
Yeah,
messages.
I hate that.
If you did, you would see me like throwing this to the TV set.
Mobile hotspot, movies and TV, and two-factor authentication not working according to our chat room. Is that right?
I think they fixed some of those, right? Did they fix it?
No, there's a bunch of issues in this one.
When you look at known issues, there's a lot of things.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of them are actually pretty serious, like
they are.
Mobile hotspot one, for example.
Yep.
And there's also one around two-factor authentication. Yeah, if you're using a phone, text the phone, that could be problematic. But you shouldn't be texting the phone anyway. So.
Right. And the Insider Hub has not yet been added back to the build, if you were wondering. So... but you know, it's been a month since we had
The feedback?
The Insider Hub, right?
Oh, the Insider Hub. I'm sorry. You're right.
Yeah, the Insider Hub isn't there.
Okay. The feedback app is there.
Yeah. As far as I know. It's been a month. Did you realize, Paul? It's been like exactly a month.
Yeah, I looked it up. Yeah, it's been a month and 2 days. Yeah.
Yep.
Nice.
It's a long time. But granted, in the interim, they shipped Windows 10.
Exactly. Yeah, they had a lot of other things to do.
Not surprising they were slightly sidetracked by that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm curious what you think, because, you know, so many of these Windows 10 mobile builds, I haven't put a single one on any phone I have. And everybody's always like, yeah, it's pretty rough. Don't put it on
any ice, ice delivery. Sorry.
Ice delivery.
Wait, people are bringing you ice.
it's a full service deal here today.
I love France. I just love it.
What a world.
That's another thing has changed. For a long time, you go to Europe, there's no such thing as ice.
I know.
You think you're insane.
By the way, we were here for almost 10 days before we discovered there was ice. Like ice, they have the technology.
Wow. Yep.
They had the recipe.
You take the water, l'eau. Be interesting, says Battle Cam in our chat room, to know how many insiders are going with Windows Mobile. Right. They did give numbers out for the Windows 10 desktop beta. Yeah. Have they been giving numbers out for mobile?
I've not heard one. I bet it's fairly small.
Yeah. It's not going to be millions.
They just say 6 million insiders total, right? Yeah.
But how many of them have Windows Phone, and how many of them are willing to take a chance?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you could buy a Windows Phone on Amazon for $50 or less. Right. So it seems like people who are kind of interested in testing Windows might want to take a look at the phone and just do it that way.
Is it ready now? Because you counseled me against doing it on my 1520 at first. Is it a little more state? And I took that counsel. Because
I brought a bunch of phones here for this very purpose. I mean, obviously, given some of the issues on this build, I mean, you can see just looking at the known issues. No, you don't want to use this on your own only phone. Yeah. But the system itself is pretty mature.
Okay. I could do it now. But if I have two-factor, I presume you do, Paul. Are you able to authenticate it since it doesn't support two-factor?
I lost you there on Skype.
You have two-factor. You use two-factor, I'm sure, on your Microsoft account.
Yes.
Not an issue, even though it doesn't support two-factor, it's not an issue with you logging in.
It does support two-factor. It's just there's a known issue in this build with if you do two-factor where you get the second factor as a text message on your phone. So if you have the app, if you use a secondary email address or whatever, there are different ways to get that.
Just
code.
Sending you a text code is not working.
It's just that one thing.
Okay.
Right.
Well, that's fine.
And there's an option when you do this to try a different method. So if you've set up backup methods, you can always do it one or the other way.
So I could use an authenticator app, and that would be fine.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. All right. And I love that that no data entry authentication that they set up. But not everybody. But you'd have to have two phones to make that. To make that work.
Right. I using Windows 10 and liking Windows 10 as much as I do and as much as Mary Jo does, for people like us, you know, Windows 10 Mobile is kind of a nice transition because the apps are basically the same. And it's kind of neat. They're the same apps and they've been tailored for the smaller screen. It's the type of thing where you figure there must be an example of something where this isn't going to work very well. But actually, it seems to work really well.
Good. All right.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
Let's talk about bridge. Because
game?
Yes. To no Trump. Actually, that's the new motto of the Republican Party, actually.
Right.
Ooh. No politics. I just couldn't resist.
It's really just a current observation.
We talked a lot, you know, as 10 beta was coming along about, what was it, bridges and lakes, bridges and rivers? Yeah.
Bridges and data lakes. It seems so far away, doesn't it?
We haven't mentioned that lately.
No.
So what's the latest with the Android Bridge?
Yeah, so last week Microsoft announced an update of its roadmap for the four bridges. And two of them that are the most interesting are the iOS bridge and the Android bridge. So what bridges are toolkits? They're meant for developers who already build iOS and Android apps to bring those apps to the Windows Store so that that Microsoft can get these apps in their store. So on the iOS front, Microsoft actually open sourced parts of the iOS bridge, and they put it under an MIT open source license and put the code up on GitHub. And the reason they did that is they're trying to get more people to look at how they're approaching this bridge to give them some feedback before they actually start making it available to developers. The other one, though, is the Android Bridge, and that was the more controversial one because the Android Bridge includes an emulation layer that is going to be part of Windows 10 Mobile that lets you actually run Android apps on Windows Phone. And still, Microsoft's asking developers to tailor these apps and take advantage of the different parts of the Windows 10 Mobile system. So they want you to write your apps so they use Cortana and that they take advantage of other Windows Phone specific capabilities. But this code leaked over the weekend. And so people were out there putting the emulation layer on their Windows Phone and downloading all these Android apps and putting them out on their phones and say, look, you can get Snapchat on your Windows Phone.
Wow. How does it work?
It's working right now in a way it's not supposed to work.
See, I fell right for it too.
It Ooh, works yeah. great.
How does that work?
Yeah. Nice. It doesn't work well, but you know, the idea is that Microsoft wants developers of these apps to submit the apps to them for inclusion in the store.
Yeah.
And then they'll run on the emulation layer. What people were doing over the weekend was putting the emulation layer on their phones and just putting APKs randomly on their phones without the developer approval. So doing something that was illegal, basically. That's not the way it's going to work when the bridge comes out in a preview form this fall. And so right now the docs for this leaked and the code leaked, but Microsoft's hoping that people will wait till fall when they open this preview program to developers of Android apps who want to get these apps also into the Windows Store. Like we said back when we were at the Brick House last time, we don't know how many Android developers or iOS developers will even care about putting their apps on Windows Phone, given that we're the 2.something%. Whatever we are now, 2.9.
This never keeps adjusting down.
I know, yeah. So we'll see. We'll see how this is received. But Microsoft's moving ahead with the bridges, and now they're getting the previews ready for this fall. So finally we're seeing it. The one preview that's lagging, which to me is super interesting, is the one for getting Win32 apps into the store. That one's not going to be available to developers in preview till next year. I thought that would be the easiest one without knowing, right, you know, technically if that would be the easiest one. But that's the one they're going to do
that
last.
That is the easiest one, actually.
It is, right? Yeah. But that's the one they're doing last.
Corporations do this every day.
Right.
Use this.
I was curious why that one is last, but it is.
Right.
So, yeah, those are your bridges.
When do you think this will be official?
The preview for iOS and Android for developers will be out this fall. And I believe the actual final bits, if I recall, will be out this year.
Yeah, cool. I think so, that's what they said.
Yeah, so you're going to start seeing apps for anyone who's participating besides the Candy Crush people who we know are doing
You know
doing
what's
stuff.
Interesting is the fact that you could do this. I mean, I know this wasn't supposed to happen, but that you could do this without the developer's assistance.
I know.
Because yeah. I was under the impression the developer would have to recompile or do something around this APK. This,
no.
It
well,
sounds
you may recall,
like it's, it works great.
Yeah.
Before build, I had written an article that people were doing this.
Yeah.
And that Microsoft was working on this. And that's what this is based on. You know, because when Microsoft announced this at build, it was like, oh, well, developers will use this tool to get their own apps on it. Like, right. That didn't sound like what I heard about. And you can see what happens when you let this stuff run wild. You know, if you have an APK,
that's
you
awesome.
Might be able to get it to run on Windows Phone.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
Because I remember even on the build show that we did right after build, we were saying, well, how much work did Candy Crush have to do? Why are they only letting, you know, Candy Crush do this?
Yep.
It turns out, were most of these apps working? There was nothing to do, right? The developers weren't even involved.
I mean, the part that Microsoft keeps emphasizing is they don't want people to just wholesale port an app over to Windows Mobile without actually taking advantage of parts of the system, right? Like, they want you to make a live tile. They want you to use Cortana.
Right? Well, I understand that, but the fact that you could do it...
Right, the fact that it could be done,
it won't be a full blown Windows Phone experience, right. But that it works. You know, if I can run Snapchat on Windows Phone, I don't care if it has a live tile.
Well, I think Snapchat will care though, right?
Right.
If they don't want it on Windows Phone.
I almost wonder if this was an intentional mistake on Microsoft's part, because those developers now have a very clear signal that their users, in whatever number, we don't know, want Snapchat, for instance, Snapchat. on the Windows Phone.
Leo, are you suggesting that Microsoft left Project Astoria on a bar stool?
Yes.
Is that what I just heard?
I believe that's exactly what I'm suggesting. Because, I mean, in a way, you want all this, whoops, it leaked out, and people were doing this without the cooperation of the developers. Oh, my. Look how many people downloaded Snapchat APKs to put on their Windows Phone. Oh, my. You know, if you think about it, it isn't hard because Java's, and this is all, these are all Java programs on Android, is designed to do this. All you have to do is make a compatible JVM for Windows Phone, which obviously is what they did. So the other, the additional tooling is all about, you know, a live tile and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, everybody, I think Snapchat and most Microsoft users and developers know people want these apps on Windows Phone. But the question is,
how many?
Do developers want to donate the resources to keeping them up to date, right?
I mean, do two people want it or 200,000 people want it? Makes a big, that's a big difference.
Yeah, definitely.
When you put, because it's there's resources. I don't care how easy it is, although the fact that the APK works without modification is very intriguing. So we've lost Paul's video. I think that's fine because, frankly, he's not that good looking. So,
listen, this was overdue.
this is the Paul Thurrott you get. A little tiny picture of Paul.
He should be eating a snail with a little fork.
We can arrange for that. Is that you, Paul? Did you turn that off, or did we turn that off, or did it just happen by accident?
It just happened. So what's been happening over the course of this show is that the audio has dropped out for about 10 seconds at a time.
Yeah.
And, you know, from time to time. And, you know, I don't know what to do about it other than maybe reboot everything. But I don't want to. I don't want to mess
well,
with
them. And of course, all we care about is how you sound, and you sound great. There's been no dropout or anything on your, you know, coming this way.
Oh, good. Okay.
So I guess if you felt ambitious, you could press the camera button and see what happens. But
oh, could I do this thing? Oh, yeah. Actually, it does seem like.
Okay. I'm just saying, if it doesn't work.
Oh, Leo, I don't know the technology.
How do you know? Do you know how Windows works? Because I can help you with that.
So, I mean, I did press it, but it didn't start up. Oh, but I'm. But maybe you can see me. Can you see me?
Yeah. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to stop the return to you. So we'll go blank, as we did last week.
It is blank. That is blank.
Okay. And I think leaving it that way probably is fine. It'll help a little bit with bandwidth. Though I'm excited about this bridge stuff. By the way, because the docs leaked, I think, again, leaked in quotes. I mean, the more I hear about this, the more I think this might have been a semi-intentional leak. Maybe Satya didn't sign it off on it, but somebody might have thought this was a good idea. Because the docs are
mistakes
out now.
Mistakes
were made. And that'll be helpful for developers, too. Mm-hmm. So is it open to all apps now? Like, if I'm just like Joe Schmo Android developer, I can't get those docs yet.
Well, you can go download the leaked docs if you want.
The leaked docs is the only way.
Right.
Yeah.
No. Otherwise, it's being very tightly controlled who can get into the program still.
Why that is.
Until later this year.
Does it? Because it's just so not finished?
I think they just want to see how it works. You know, like, okay, let's get a couple developers, see how that works.
I think they want to literally work hand in hand with certain developers to see what the process looks like, and then they can develop guidance for other people, you know, after that.
I just got to point out, though, it's all to their benefit what's happened. This leak is great. I mean, it's really good news. I'm excited. Is there anybody with a Windows RT tablet out there?
Me. Yep.
I am the 1%.
Hey, Joe, you and me,
my house.
We get a consolation prize.
We do. Yep. So we already knew that Windows RT tablets were not going to get all of Windows 10. Microsoft had already said that. But now we know that whatever we do get, this update is coming in September this year. So next month.
Yeah.
And we know that there are going to be improvements to the start menu and the lock screen. And we think that's all. We don't think we're going to get anything else.
No new features. Wow.
We don't think so. Although, you know, they haven't disclosed the entire set of what's going to be in that update. But on their FAQ that they updated, it just says, we will improve the start menu and the lock screen. That's all it says. Yeah. Sorry, guys.
Can we put Mobile 10 on it?
Nope.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Ooh, no.
It also, I've had people ask me this. Can I run the universal Windows apps that are coming into the Windows 10 store? The answer is no. And the answer is no because you need Windows 10 Core to run that, and we're not going to get
Core. Paul, I saw you show the your phone. The install's completed.
Well, it's so it's on there, the We're Getting There screen, and it's going to be worth the wait, it says. It's migrating my data.
It's going to be worth that wait.
It's almost, it's just finishing up.
I like, Microsoft hired a copywriter. They did.
There it is. They have funny messages
Things like the store has stumbled. So there it is. So we got it. Let's see.
Please bring it up to the.
Not that it's
a little slow.
There it is. It's a little bright, really is what it is. Yeah, we can see it.
I've got it set on the white background.
It looks good.
Maybe I could fix that. Looks the same. That was a lot of excitement and wait over one month of time. That looks exactly the same.
Yeah.
Oh, but now how come my mobile hotspot doesn't work?
So Nokia sold here, and now they're just really what? I don't even know what they do. They make tires, apparently.
They make networking stuff.
Yeah. They retooled the business, but then they kind of said, and by the way, as soon as when do they get out of the deal with Microsoft? As soon as Microsoft lets us, we're going to make our own.
It's the end of next year.
It's soon. We're going to make our own.
No, it's the end of next year.
Oh, 2016. Oh.
Yeah, like the end of 2016.
Oh, okay.
Okay, but still, all they're going to do is offer their branding and design expertise,
design,
right? Like
will it be a Windows phone?
Build phones.
They haven't said, but that would be hilarious.
Or it would be hilarious. Okay, here's a weird question: Who got S60? Who got the old Nokia OS?
Microsoft got everything.
They got everything.
This is why this is so ludicrous. Every person, every asset they had that had anything to do with phones went to Microsoft.
Yeah. And then the maps have gone to BMW, Audi, Mercedes, Daimler.
Right. So basically, their mobile acumen amounts to they made an Android launcher, and then they designed, an Android tablet, which, by the way, looks identical to an iPad.
Right.
So I don't quite understand why people are even excited about this.
So people who knew phones are at Microsoft or out of work?
Yes. Now, granted, they could hire some of those people back, and some of them would probably be very happy to have a job.
Because we like, Paul, let's not be bitter. We liked the design. Nokia made beautiful phones.
Yeah.
Those people are at Microsoft. Well, that's not fair. Actually, the lead designer for the Lumia stuff left Nokia. Yeah. Actually, he might have left when Microsoft bought them, but he left them some time ago. So he might be out in the world somewhere. I'm not really sure what he's up to.
Why would Nokia announce this now?
I actually think it's kind of dicey, given that they have a non-compete with Microsoft to even talk about this stuff. People are getting excited about this. I mean, this is like there's a Commodore-branded phone coming out,
Yeah, it's like that, isn't it? Yeah.
As sort of an enthusiast, it's like, oh, that's really cool. So some holding company owns the logo and the name. Yeah. But, I mean, realistically speaking, this thing shares no DNA whatsoever with Amigas or Commodore 64s or anything like that. Slapping a Nokia logo on something is a lot like slapping a Polaroid logo on something, which actually companies do because they license the name. And I just don't think it's something to be excited about. Even I wish it was, but it just is not that enticing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Somebody in the chat room said, instead of going out of business, Microsoft saved them. In other words, were they that close?
Well, they were circling the drain. I mean, so I think what would have happened if Microsoft had neglected had not bought them, is that they would have started doing more Android stuff. And that this, they would have gone nowhere fast because they're the smallest fish in the biggest pond imaginable. And no one would have cared about that stuff. The story that doesn't really get told about Microsoft's, disastrous purchase of Nokia, which in many ways it was, right, is that had they not purchased Nokia, their whole Windows strategy thing would have collapsed because the phone business would have disappeared overnight.
Yeah.
And so they kind of had, they made a bad bet. Yeah, but they didn't really have a choice, by the time they bought it. I would have really preferred to have seen Nokia exist as a standalone entity. I still feel really bad about that.
Yeah. Yeah, I do too. Because I like them, and I think they had a brand that not in the U.S. but in the rest of the world.
Like you said, the design stuff in particular.
I'll never forget going to
very unique devices.
Yeah,
you know, it's missed.
I'll never forget going to London Heathrow and seeing this was in the early Lumia days, seeing massive ads everywhere for Nokia, and it's like you know, they clearly were the brand.
I had that experience in Madrid as well several years ago, and it was kind of eye-opening to understand how big this company was, you know.
Well, I think, you know, if they do go back in the phone business, the market for them is going back to India and Europe and do low-end phones and maybe do nice low-end phones. You know, I've been using the Moto G as my daily driver, which is a $200, very credible Android phone. It's more snappier than the Galaxy S6. So there's a market for that, I think, you know.
Speaking of which,
along those lines, Microsoft not the only company.
Yeah, so the story here is that last year Microsoft obviously embarked on a low-end phone strategy, and they spammed the market in many ways with way too many models, but they weren't going really after emerging markets. And what we know now from various, you know, SEC filings and so forth is that they sold far fewer phones over this time period than they thought they were going to. And, of course, the average selling price was much lower than they anticipated, which is a little bizarre because they had to have known that they were selling cheaper phones. But that whole thing kind of imploded on them, and that was their entire business. Google also last year came out with their Android One initiative, which is basically the same thing, attack emerging markets with low-cost phones. In this case, with partners. And that actually didn't go too well either. But the interesting thing is, of course, you know, Google pretty much dominates the mobile industry. And so they can just kind of retrench and restart. And it's fine. And, you know, for those guys, they're going to come up with new lines of phone, or their partners are, that are not going to cost $100. They're going to cost, you know, $37 to $48. Like, these are incredibly low-priced phones. And it's going to be really difficult, I think, for anyone else, including Microsoft, to compete with those devices. You know, where a phone like a Moto G, like you were saying, is a good device for you here in the United States, it's not hard to imagine taking a step down from that and selling something that costs significantly less, but is in fact a fine mobile device, you know, for almost anybody.
Yeah. You know, when you wrote that, I was curious about, you know, Microsoft said they're going to have three kinds of phones, right? They're going to have the budget phones is one of them, and then that makes you wonder where are they going to play in that segment, right? How budget is budget.
Emerging markets will be part of it, but I mean, the cheapest phones that Microsoft has made have been terrible, and they haven't been that cheap. They certainly haven't been $50, not brand new.
Right.
I mean, I think that price point is more and more achievable as time goes on, but I think what we're going to see from Microsoft everywhere, businesses, low-end phones, also flagships, is I think the big thing is just fewer devices and more consistency across markets. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious. I mean, I can't say I'm personally super interested in low-end phones, but I am curious to see what they do there, of course.
Mm-hmm. Google says that $100 is too much. I think I could have told them that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're competing against $25 phones that look like Google phones. I mean, they're not really a Google phone. They're an Android open source phone. Mm-hmm. But they're, you know, that's what you're competing against. Yeah, we've lost Paul's picture. It's coming back. It's going up. It's going down. Yeah. It's all around. That's all right.
The internets are not happy today.
That's okay. It's the French internet. It's always been a little prickly.
Right.
So you guys want to talk about Alphabet? We're going to spend a lot of time, I think. Jeff Jarvis is champing at the bit to talk about it on This Week in Google.
Right.
I got a lot of tweets saying you're going to change it to This Week in Alphabet. I don't think so.
Oh, no.
Oh, of course not.
But that underscores the real point.
There's still a company called Google.
Yeah,
I mean,
you're gonna smoke Google stuff.
Mary Jo and I never spoke about this because you know, I'm here and it's difficult. But I'm curious on her take on this, but also what she thinks about my notion that this, in many ways, is not super different from many Microsoft reorganizations.
I mean,
they've created, they created a new company name, but it's really, you know,
Yeah,
it's still a superstructure.
Yeah.
It's similar, though, to what I remember Dvorak was calling for Microsoft, and many have. I mean, you might even have, Paul, for Microsoft to split into two or three divisions, which in hindsight would have been the wrong thing to do. Maybe.
Well, maybe, but you know, when you look at what they're doing now with mobile apps on different devices, I mean, one of those companies would have been an app company. And back in 2001, what you would have said is this would let them release Office on Linux. And
right.
If they had done that in 2001, who knows how the world might have turned out.
That's true.
I don't actually know that that's such a horrible idea. This is no reason for it now.
What's your take on this?
No, when I heard about this, it made me think, you know how people always say Google's following in Microsoft's footsteps and so many things, like on antitrust and all this. This, to me, also is an example of that, because remember, just a few years ago, Microsoft was spreading itself into everything, right? They were buying healthcare companies, right? They had doctors on the Microsoft payroll. They were buying ad exchanges. They were just like all over the map. And now I feel like their mission is to tighten their focus and focus on fewer, bigger bets, like Nadella likes to say. And I feel like Google now is a few steps behind them in being kind of wanting to be in everything, right? As Alphabet, they want to be in every kind of business instead of really focusing in on what pays the bills, which is Google, right? And ads. So I don't know. I'm curious if in two or three more years you're going to see Google contract and kind of circle the wagons the way Microsoft is now and focus on its core instead of trying to be in all these other businesses.
Just spin some stuff off.
Yeah, or spin some stuff off. Like Microsoft selling off the healthcare companies that it bought, right? It decided, you know what? What are we trying to do? We can't be in these businesses. That's not our core.
Google is so goofy, you know. They're so strange that when they do something strange, it just it doesn't register. You know, I think if some other company had done this, it would have been like, wait, what? But Google doesn't. You're like,
they're just weird.
You know,
they're just weird. They're a weird company.
To me and to you, I think, and for people who care about technology, though, I think the cool thing about this is it sort of separates a lot of the kind of baloney off to the side. And granted, some of that is interesting, but the core tech, the stuff we care about, the products and services that are technology related, are Google, you know. And now the guy that's running that company, Sundar Pichai, is that how you say his name?
Yeah, Sundar Pichai, He's good.
I'm sorry, is that the correct pronunciation?
Yeah, Sundar Pichai.
Sundar Pichai.
Yeah.
I love this guy. And every time he's spoken, whether going back, I mean, all the way to when he was at Chrome and then running Android and Chrome, and, you know, now he's in charge of all consumer products. And actually, he's the CEO of Google. He's great. And he, in many ways, I look at him as Google's Nadella. I mean, he's the same kind of guy. He's an engineer. He's really clear-headed and really cares about certain things that are important to me as well. And I am excited about this. And I wonder now if there isn't some opportunity for Google and Microsoft to finally, you know, kind of get together and partner actually on things, because Microsoft has been doing a great job of supporting Google's platforms. Obviously, we'd like to see that happen on the opposite side. I think with Windows 10, you could make the argument it's a big enough deal that they should. I think there's some neat stuff that could come out of this.
You do? You actually think there'll be a change with him as the CEO?
I'm not saying there will be. I think there could be. That this guy's a little more clear-headed about the engineering aspects of it, that he approaches it more a sort of from a pragmatic engineering standpoint, you know. And I think Windows 10, unlike Windows 8 or Windows Phone, is a big enough platform. And I think anyone looks at this and says, yes, this is going to be a big deal. Windows does have 1.5 billion users. We need to support this, you know. And they've done the job they need to do on the desktop. And, of course, most of this stuff runs on the web. But what they haven't done is the mobile stuff. And there's never been any call for it. But now that universal apps are the platform, I think there's an opportunity. Mm. What a coup would that be, you know?
It would be.
Yeah. Very interesting.
We'll see.
I'm reserving my why reserve my comments? I was going to reserve it for this week on Google. I have a kind of I think it makes very little difference across the board, really, to the operation of the company. What it really is, my opinion, designed to do is distract people from the fact that it's Larry Page stepping down and resigning Google.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, if they had done the same restructure but made Sundar CEO, it would have looked like Larry was stepping down.
Okay, I'm not disagreeing with you, but just real quick. I mean, I think the one difference under that scenario is that Sundar would have then been in charge of Google X and Calico and all the other
stuff. Yeah, no, they don't want that. Yeah, no.
Yeah. I mean, he should be in charge of those technology products. That's the right thing, way to do things.
Larry should, right? Yeah.
Sundar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think there is a risk because the moneymaker is still, I hate to say it, search and search ads. I think Larry isn't that interested in search and search ads. He's very interested. He's pissed off that Sergey gets the R&D arm, Google X. So he wants his own. I think what it really is Larry Page saying, I'm done. I don't want to be in meetings about search and search ads anymore.
Yeah, exactly. What are we talking about?
Even though that's paying the bill.
The phrase CPM. Yeah.
The risk
is. Well, he's like, look, I'm a billionaire. I want to go to space.
And by the way, the market loves this. The stock market is crazy over this. It's gone up a huge amount. But the risk is. Oh, it's pretty. The risk is that now you'll know how badly all these other divisions are doing. Notice YouTube was not spun out, so we won't know that.
Well, I mean, do these companies have to publicly disclose all of their finances? Is that known?
Yeah, I think so.
They do.
So they'll all report individual results, all of which will be negative, minus zero.
Sure.
And it'll be very clear what the costs of all of this is, and the money, and so maybe I suspect you're going to see spinoffs. It'd be much easier to do these spinoffs,
right? Yep, I do too.
So
I don't know why
my opinion on this really is that this is all pay no attention. Larry's stepping down. Yeah. Pay no attention.
Yeah,
I think Larry's bored and he doesn't want to do it anymore. And Sundar's a very good choice.
What's Eric Schmidt doing now, by the way?
He's still there, by the way. He'll still be executive chairman.
Doesn't he drive an ice cream truck or something?
Yes. While he was reading your email? Yes. No.
The evil Googler guy.
By the way, can I point out that Microsoft is doing exactly everything they hated Google so much for in Windows 10,
Oh,
right?
Man. Oh,
what do you mean?
Well, all of the things that they were sniping at Google about, they're doing on Windows 10.
What do you mean?
The privacy. Look at read the EULA. They're reading your email. They're looking at all your data. Everything you say to Cortana goes to the cloud.
Right.
But of course, that's how it is.
No, so they're actually still not serving you up. I misspoke last week when I said this. They're not serving you up ads in your mail based on what's in your mail. They're not doing that, but they are like listening to you for Cortana and all that. And that's where, especially the Cortana stuff is where you have to opt in and all this stuff. Like,
and you have a unique, this is the big one. You have a unique Microsoft ID across all Microsoft platforms, which is what Google got badly dinged for, when they did a unified EULA.
But that's not actually new, right? That was in Windows 8.
I know.
Right.
But I mean, the point, in other words, there's a checkbox somewhere in Windows where you can say, I don't want a unique ID. And the point of the unique ID is that you get ads that are tailored toward you, I guess, right? They're customized for you or something. And if you don't
how
have
would
that,
they customize those ads, just out of curiosity?
Probably from reading your email.
Okay,
no,
just
I don't
to
know.
Just put that out.
I'm
just
really
saying.
Sure, to be honest,
I don't
exactly
have a problem with it, but I'm just pointing out that it's good they fired Mark Penn because the Scroogled campaign makes no sense in light of what Microsoft's doing.
Except for one thing. So Google only makes money from ads, and so it behooves them to put ads everywhere. And so when Google reads email, they're doing it to serve ads. When Microsoft reads your email, they're doing it to protect you from spam, and they're not serving ads based on your email. So, I mean, Microsoft may be moving or seeing whether they can move more to a Google model in order to offset revenues that no longer exist from traditional products like Windows or Office. But I don't think it's really fair to say in Windows 10 that Google is Microsoft or Microsoft is Google because they just don't really have the capacity or the back end to make money from ads in the way that Google does. Like,
or
no
really the interest, right?
Well, if this was something easy that they could do, I'm not.
If they could, they would. Yeah,
they're not sitting in a pew in church or something. But I mean, I just think they're not the same company. I mean, Google approaches everything from that standpoint because that's what they are.
Right.
Microsoft comes from kind of an old school approach, and so they're trying to adapt. I mean, they would have loved to. I'm sure if their ad business had taken off, we'd be having a very different conversation. But I just don't think they've ever been successful doing it.
I don't know if you saw what Dr. Pizza wrote about this, but it was his article that said the expectations of what people are okay with privacy-wise now have really changed. And so, you know, if Microsoft had done some of this stuff before, I think it would have been a much even bigger outcry than it was in the past few weeks. And they're just counting on the fact that the bar has moved. And it's moved because Siri and Google Now and all these other services also collect all your information if you want to opt in for those too, right? So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Microsoft
at least lets you opt out.
More important, Microsoft requires you to opt in. The interesting thing is they actually do. And I'm going to explain. Okay. No, they do.
Right. Tell me, because I think you're wrong. Go ahead.
Okay. In Windows setup, you have a choice at one point to go through Express Settings or not. People have a bad habit of kind of click, I just want to get through this command. Right. And when they do,
the button for Express Settings is not only bigger than the button for go through Absolutely. One by one, no, it's I'm also not, recommended.
Gonna... Yes, of course. Because, and actually, I think unless you are a real tin hatter, if you actually go through custom settings and look at what you're opting into, none of it is actually objectionable. There is some stuff in Windows 10 that I'm not a huge fan of the default setting, especially around the notion of providing the internet with software updates, which I think is an insane thing to do by default. But I don't really see that as a privacy issue. But as far as like the privacy stuff that everyone's kind of complaining about, most of that is, or all of it, I should say, is handled by not doing an Express setup. But even when you do an Express setup, Cortana is not enabled. Even if you choose Express setup, you still have to go
step through that
and say yes.
Do you really?
And it won't do voice. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, when you click in Cortana at first, it says, are you, and Google does this with Google Now on Android. It says, are you sure you're in? Here's what you're doing.
Yeah, that's
right. So anyway, did I miss?
No, you're right. But I don't know anyone, including myself, who does anything other than click Express settings.
That is absolutely right. Yeah, and they make it very obvious that you can, and like Leo said, it's a big, please do this, and then there's a tiny little thing of text. I completely agree.
Yeah.
And it is human nature. They know that. I mean, there's a reason it's designed this way. Just come on. I want to see it. Let's go.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt about that.
No, you're right. Yeah. So if you can opt out of it. And people who listen to this show are the kinds of people who will. And
yes, right.
Most people are not those people.
If you buy my book, I explain what the settings you're opting
in. In fact, Microsoft even lets you use Windows 10 without a Microsoft account. But it's a very diminished experience, as they are quick to point out.
And actually, I had written an article a month ago, and I was saying, Microsoft is much more accepting of people that don't want to have a Microsoft account. Actually, as it turns out, they are. I should say, compared to Windows 8, Windows 10 does a much better job of things working if you don't have a Microsoft account. That said, there are certain experiences in Windows 10 where you say, I want to use this feature. For example, you say, I didn't sign in with a Microsoft account, but I want to use Cortana. And Cortana will say, hey, by the way, if you want to use Cortana, you need to sign in with a Microsoft account to use Cortana. And you say, okay. And when you do that, it turns everything into a Microsoft account. You're not signing into Cortana. You've now signed in with a Microsoft account. And I actually think that is somewhat deceptive, because it's not obvious that you're not just okaying this thing, because that's what it seems like. You are, in fact, changing your sign-in to a Microsoft account sign-in. You can reverse it, by the way, but I just think that's slightly deceptive. Yeah. Not everything.
My point, by the way, is not that we lost him again. Not that you shouldn't trust Microsoft, but just that they're now a peer with Apple and Google. You're back.
Thank you, Blues.
My point is not that I don't trust Microsoft, but merely that they're now kind of doing the same thing as Apple and Google. And by the way, Apple does this too, despite their protestations that they care about your privacy. Sure. They're all, anytime you store stuff in the cloud, basically, boom, there you go.
Sure.
And so that's all my own. I don't mind.
The other thing I think most
I chose Express
are.
Settings. I like Express Settings.
I think most people are happy to do it. And I do think, confronted by the boring banality of what you're choosing, most people say, you know what, this is fine.
Yeah. So what's
it's not like it's not third child stuff. It's not, you know,
nothing wrong with people knowing more about you so they can give you better ads, in my opinion. No, it doesn't bother me.
I honestly, okay.
I would prefer ads for the new Dell over ads for Ashley Madison. It's fine if they know that, and that gives me ads I care more about, and that's fine.
I would like a third choice, which is for the low price of $20 a year. You can have no ads or whatever.
Well, that's a little weird because Microsoft. Well, I guess it's free now, so maybe that doesn't change. That changes things, but. Mm-hmm. Microsoft traditionally wasn't an ad company. They were all about, they made money on software. But all of this is all changed so fast now.
We've talked about this. You know, there was something very honest about that transaction. We have this thing called Windows. We would like you to buy it. And then you say, yes, I will buy it. I will pay for it. And now it is mine. You know, it sounds nice. It's not really what it was. But in Windows 8, of course, they introduced ads in some of the apps, in the MSN apps. Well, they were called the Bing apps at the time. And I wrote an article at the time where I said, this is a slippery slope. Because once you have – you introduce ads into the operating system, you know, where are they going to turn up next? You know, I'm going to do – I'm going to make a network connection. And halfway through it, it's going to say, hey, you know, if you bought a D-Link router, you'd have a much faster connection. Would you like click yes to, you know, go to the preferred payment method that's associated with your Microsoft account? And you'll have this thing on your doorstep tomorrow, courtesy of Microsoft shipment, you know, or whatever.
Windows 10, the closest you have to having an ad in the operating system is the way that you can have those store ads show up in your start menu, right? And you can shut that off too, which I did.
You can. You notice, though, it doesn't say right there how to do it. you have to go kind of look for that.
Yeah. Right. But there's nowhere else in the OS where there's an ad, right? Like in the operating system, not in the apps, but in the OS.
I don't think there's anywhere
that there's an ad right now, at least.
Not in the operating system. But the issue is, what's the operating system, right? I mean, if the thing ships on the disk with the OS, isn't that the operating system? I mean, Internet Explorer, remember? I mean, it's integrated with the operating system. It ships on the disk. Yeah. It's part of it.
Yeah. I guess, even though it's all this new stuff is bundled with Windows, I still consider it separate from Windows.
Yeah, a lot of people do, and there's a good argument to be made there. I'm taking a very kind of strict approach to this one, just because I don't like to see ads get in there, and I'm worried about what it means, you know, down the road.
Yep.
So, is it safe to say there won't be any more Scroogled ads?
Let's hope. Mark Penn isn't working there anymore.
I'm just kidding.
Or won't be soon.
I want to be clear, because people think, oh, Leo, you're complaining about this. I'm not. I mean, Steve Gibson said, I will never use Windows 10.
Leo, let me just tell you already what Twitter's going to say about you, because I don't know if
Twitter hates me. It's okay. I'm used to it.
No, but Twitter, by the way, let me correct that sentence. Twitter hates.
Period.
Everything is
Twitter. It's not for haters. Yeah.
There's nothing you can't complain about on Twitter.
The old slogan was, New York is for lovers, Twitter is for haters. Yeah.
Yes. There you go. Yeah. That's all you need to say.
No, I'm just saying that. It doesn't matter what I'm saying. Who cares?
Who cares? You hate Microsoft, Leo.
I'm just saying that
I know you don't.
They're all the same.
Yeah.
Microsoft's.
I don't think they're all the same, but they're getting
similar.
Closer.
Microsoft's once perhaps justifiable stance that they were somehow protecting your privacy more than Google is now clearly not the same case, right?
Oh, I have a hard time accepting that one.
I do too.
All right. Okay. Good. That's why we have three of us instead of one.
I think with Windows 10. A lot of these settings being on by default, not Cortana, because Paul explained it wasn't that way in Cortana, but other things that were set as the defaults that you had to know to go in and turn off.
This could be improved.
Could be improved. Yep. Yep. That's all. That would be my...
Well, you know what? By raising these issues, and other people have certainly, hopefully this stuff will be improved over time.
Yeah. Let's talk about the cloud. Shared folder sync is now here with OneDrive. What does that even mean? Tell me.
I know. I want to hear this explanation because I didn't even try to write this. I was so confused.
this is so genius. I don't even want to say it. So in OneDrive, I know it's so awful. You can share folders with other people, obviously, right? For collaboration purposes, or maybe you just want them to download some files, whatever. They can share folders with you. And so when you think about the kind of the modern way in which you might access OneDrive, obviously you have mobile apps that give you a view of your OneDrive. And it's very easy in a mobile app because it's really just a view of something up in the cloud that they can – they'll have a little like a shared folder, and that will be the stuff that's shared with you from other people. And so you can go in and it connects live and you can see your stuff. But when you're syncing to the desktop, like you can do in Windows and you can do on the Mac, it's a little different, right? Because you can, you know, in all operating systems except for 8.1, you can kind of sit there and say, oh, I want this folder, I want this folder, I want this folder. But what's never been in there has been the shared stuff. So people have been asking for this for a long time. What I want to do is someone has, you know, Mary Jo shares a folder with me, and it's got documents in it that we're collaborating on. That book about Microsoft, I keep talking about that. We're going to write someday. And whatever it is.
Sorry.
And
keep saying, you know, no. He's going to wear you down. You know he
He's
is.
He's never going to wear me down.
I want to work on that stuff offline, right? Up until about 2 days ago, the only way to access those files would be through the web browser, right? And you can do that. You know, it's not impossible. You could go to the web browser, look at your shared folders, find the shared folder for Mary Jo, click on a document, say open in Word. It opens on your desktop. You know, you have to be online for that to work, and you can collaborate and do stuff. Okay. But what they've done finally is add the ability to get those shared folders into the sync client, but only – I should say, on every version of Windows and on the Mac, except for Windows 8.1, because, of course, we know Windows 8.1 is that special case where everything's different. So what does that mean? Does that mean now you see shared? Is it not, like, in other words, what folders do you want to sync? I want to sync the shared folders. No. What you have to do is on the web, you have to go to the web, find a shared folder, and say, copy this or put this in OneDrive. And what it does is it copies it to the root of OneDrive, and then you can sync it down to your PC. And it probably creates, like, what's basically a symbolic link up in the cloud. And you have the version that you can sync to your desktop, and then you have the version that Mary Jo, in this case, share with me, and they sync up in the cloud. It's the hokiest, dumbest, most complex system for doing this. Like, you can't just – I can only guess that. My guess is, remember, with Windows 10, they went back to the Windows 7 sync client to start, and that's how they started, and they've been kind of improving it. And so that sync client is the same sync client you see in, you know, Windows 7, Windows 10, and on the Mac. So – it's all kind of the same basic code base, and I think that's why it's possible for this to work. I have to imagine that going forward, the goal is to update the sync client so that this kind of middleman silliness is not necessary. But I think what they wanted to do was at least give this to people and say, look, here it is. You know, we have been working on it. We know people need this. It's really easy to do this in Dropbox. It's not something that's really easy to do in OneDrive. Let's just make it available. So I think I hope what we're saying today is just a kind of an interim thing. I was so upset when I understood what they were doing that I almost didn't write about it, you know, and I was just so like, seriously. And the other thing they did was when they announced it, they said that this was for OneDrive for business as well. It's not. A day later, they came back and said, oh, by the way, it's not for OneDrive.
Oh, wow. Really?
It's only for OneDrive. So yeah, there it is. you can, if you want it, you can get it, but I don't like it. I don't like this kind of solution. It's got a kludge kind of aspect to it.
Yeah.
Better hurry, cause it's going fast. Microsoft delivers new apps for Apple Watch. Believe it or not, get ready. Hold on to your hats. Yesterday on iOS Today. Actually, Monday, Megan Maroney picked Microsoft Outlook as her app of the day for the iPhone and the Apple Watch.
You know what? I shouldn't have suspected that because I actually got a chili at my back. That must be what that was.
That was it.
No, what is that? Like an iPad.
Either a ghost walked on my grave or we gave an app cap to a Microsoft product. Yeah, because it works with Watch. It's nice. Right. Yeah. It's good. You know, but... okay, to be fair, it's really a Compli plus Sunrise to Microsoft acquisitions, right? Mm-hmm. Not Outlook like your father's Outlook.
There's so many things that Microsoft called Outlook right now. It's
what does it even
impossible.
Mean? I know. No, it's maybe the best mail app out there for iOS. It's amazing.
I hear a lot of people say that.
Talked about the Exchange Online version of Outlook already, right? Like last week, probably the way they renamed
it. Yes, yeah.
We must have talked
the web interface to Exchange. Yeah.
What do they call it again? It's the Outlook on the web.
Yeah.
It's like
I don't even remember.
I live Sleepy Hollow by the.
By the tree under the willows. So yeah, nice job, Microsoft. You can even reply to email on your watch.
What?
Apple hasn't figured out how to do that. It's great. It's really great. Now you can't. It's weird, a little weird, because if you get an email, like if I got an email from you, and I was reading through the email, I can triage it, but I can't respond to it. But I can. But that's not Microsoft's fault. And Apple Watch OS 2.0 will make this possible.
They have quick responses. You can.
Yeah, it's nice. You can dictate a response on your watch though, which is nice, or an email on your watch. I think it's good. Nice job.
Somewhere in the world is a guy wearing Google Glass and talking into his Apple Watch. And he basically, it's like having an electronic billboard on your back. This is kicking.
How well does that work on Windows Phone with a Microsoft Band? It's got a pretty good interface, right?
How does what work? The like responding to emails
Outlook
and things like that.
On Windows Phone?
It's the same thing. You have quick response. Actually, that's not fair, because now they actually do have a keyboard. So this is something I don't actually use. So in the beginning, it was just like the Apple Watch. You have quick responses that you can go into the mobile app on your phone and maybe, you know, customize them. Actually, they have a keyboard, so you can respond to things if you want to.
Yeah.
And I don't do that because I'm a normal person, but I guess if you wanted to, you could do that. Yeah, so it's getting there.
Nice. All right. Drink some rosé, because we're going to take a little break.
Okay.
And the back of the book will be next, as we continue with Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott from Thurrott. I'm just downloading Outlook on my Android device. I'm so excited. Thurrott.com. Mary Jo Foley from AllAboutMicrosoft.com. Our back of the book is always a lot of fun. That's the picks and the tips and the beer. The picks and the tips and the beer. The picks and the tips and the beer. Our show today brought to you by Lynda.com. Everybody wants to learn. I think it's the human condition. And sometimes you have to learn for work, to get a better job, to do a better job at work. Sometimes you want to learn because it's your hobby and you want to get better at it. Lynda.com has 3,000 on-demand video courses for both, in stuff that you need to know for work, like Microsoft Office, the ins and outs of Windows 10, sharpening your HTML skills, stuff you might want for your hobby. They have such great photography stuff at Lynda.com. The new DIY photographer course, I've been playing around with that. It's great. Joseph Linashki will show you how to do stuff yourself, like make a macro lens by hand, a light diffuser, a camera stabilizer, all of these for just a few bucks. There are 548 photography courses online. So if your hobby or your profession is photography, this is a great place to learn. There are new courses on Adobe Camera Raw Essential Training, Photoshop Creative Cloud 2015 that just came out, Essential Training, Video for Photographers, Filmmaking Essentials. There's such great stuff. I could literally spend all day watching just the photography stuff at Lynda.com. But there's business skills, too. You know, making a resume, negotiating a better deal. There's so much at Lynda.com. I want you to try it for 10 days free. 10 days means you get every single course. You can watch them all. Lynda.com/windows to sign up for that 10-day free trial. You'll be watching and learning from great teachers who also happen to be working experts in the field. And that's nice. You could stream thousands of video courses on demand. You get, when you sign up for Lynda.com with that low monthly rate, you get access to everything. You can learn at your own pace. Courses are structured so you can watch them all the way from beginning to end if you're one of those kinds of people, or consume them in bite-sized pieces. Browse each course transcript to follow along, or search for an answer and skip right to that point. Take notes as you go. Refer to them later. Download tutorials and watch them on the go. You've got access on your Android or iOS device. I love Lynda.com. I really do. I've known Lynda for years, more than a decade, and I just think the world of her. And she's created one of the best
you tools for learning ever. Try it today. LYNDA.com/windows. LYNDA.com/windows. This is, I don't know what Joseph is teaching right now. It has to do with a fabric shop. Ah, choosing the right fabric for your backdrop. I like that. He is so cool. This is such a cool course. And then you get your fabric and you set up a studio. You could have a studio in your home. Light diffusion with parchment paper. Really great stuff. This is a great course. Anyway, that's my next course. Lynda.com. What's your next course going to be? It's 10 days free at LYNDA.com/windows. And we thank Lynda for her support of Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley are here. Paul's in France. Lucky guy.
It's dark out, too.
When do you, we managed to get to bring the sun down. Yeah, wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it really did get dark.
Yep.
When do you come home? How long are you going to be there?
Tuesday.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring up a sore subject.
It had to happen eventually.
Oh, well. Firefox 40. Tell us
about
it.
Yeah, so my software pick and my tip are related. I've used Firefox for years and years, and a long time ago it was my primary browser, and Chrome kind of came along, and that was it. But, you know, some things have happened recently where it's not me, it's Chrome, and I'm getting a little tired of some of the stuff that I see in Chrome. And in particular, when I go on a trip like this, Chrome doesn't handle high DPI displays very well. You know, and coincidentally, on the day that Firefox 40 came out, I didn't actually realize it was coming out that day. I started looking into this and comparing how the browsers worked on a high DPI display. If you have like a Dell XPS 13, for example, it has some crazy resolution. It's something like 3200 by something or whatever. Or the the HP Spectre X30 I'm using right now, which is also, you know, much, much bigger than HD type display. 13-inch screen though, right? And so Windows and high DPI, it's always been kind of a rough spot for me. And browsers in particular don't handle it very well. Edge browser handles it very well, but Edge, of course, is broken in many ways. It doesn't have a bunch of stuff. So I was looking at Firefox. And Firefox, there's some interesting stuff. It actually renders pretty well. There's a high DPI setting you can do in about config that actually makes things pretty wonderful. It handles zooming of various web pages very, very well. And I kind of liked it. And then they announced Firefox 40, and they kind of put it over the top. And really, it's only a couple things. They have a default theme that looks beautiful in Windows 10, which was actually a serious problem in the previous version of the browser. And they're working to improve their add-on system so that there's a certification system in place, and it's something they're easing in over time. So in version 40, if you get a non-certified add-in, you can still use it, but it will warn you in the future they're actually going to turn that stuff off. So for the tip, what I did was I kind of looked at this thing and I thought, well, okay, you know, what can you do to make this thing work better in Windows? And, you know, Mozilla had some issues with Microsoft and the way that Windows 10 handles default apps, in particular the browser. And they have some advice about how you can set, you know, Firefox as the default browser. And it seems like that would be pretty obvious. But actually, as it turns out, if you use their instructions or if you use the default apps part of settings in Windows 10, you really only put some of the defaults to the application you've selected. You really have to go into the old school interface, which is a control panel, and select all of the defaults, which is something that I do recommend doing. In Firefox, in Firefox 40, this is a very unique feature. In fact, when they described this, I thought, is this really the default behavior? But it is for Firefox. It's something they did. If you set Firefox as your default web browser, by default, whatever the search engine is in the browser will be the search engine that Cortana uses in Windows 10. And that's really interesting because if you set Google as the search provider, that becomes the search provider for Cortana for searches on the web. And I actually think that's pretty cool. So that's something you can turn off if you don't like it. But the other one to know, there's a few other things. I wrote an article about some of the stuff you can do to make it kind of better on Windows. But the big one, honestly, is this high DPI setting. And it's going to be something I can't really say on the podcast because it's a kind of a complex text string. But basically, there's a setting in about colon config where you can go in and you can apply settings to a setting, apply values to a setting, and it will change the way that the application scales by default, the scaling is, you know, it's small, of course, as would be, but you can kind of put it up in increments. And I find this thing to be very pleasing. It actually works really, really, really well. So if you're a Windows 10 user, definitely take a look at Firefox 40.
Like it really, you, I've kind of abandoned everything for Chrome, but
yeah.
I'll have to try it.
There's some stuff in it that's really neat. I mean, there's some goofy stuff. It still has like a separate search box, which I think is kind of old-fashioned in a way. But it's overall, it's really nice.
Why not have all three? They're free. Actually, all four.
I do. But I mean, yeah, it's worth looking at.
Yeah, good. So that was your pick and your tip.
Yes.
As they say in Seinfeld, it wasn't a pick. It was a tip.
That's exactly right. Well, yes.
It was both.
It was
both. Now, our enterprise pick of the week with the esteemed Mary Jo Foley.
My enterprise pick is the new Skype for Business apps that are coming for iOS and Android. Right now, believe it or not, there is already a Skype app for Windows Phone that is out. The Skype client for Windows Phone came out in July. For once, Microsoft did Windows Phone first. And now, as of this week, if you're an IT admin, you can request to have up to 4 iOS users and up to 4 Android users in Microsoft's upcoming beta program for these new Skype apps for iOS and Android. You have to apply by August 14th, which is this Friday, if you want to be in the first batch of preview program participants. Wow. That's tough to say. Preview program participants. But there will be future batches of preview testers, I'm assuming. So if you don't make this first deadline, you'll be able to get into a later round of the preview program. So Skype for Business is, as people know, the rebranded name for Link, which is Microsoft's unified communications client for business. And this is all part of Microsoft's migration of Skype to Link. Link to Skype for Business. And they did say that there would be these coming apps for iOS and Android. And they also said there'd be one for Mac, which I don't think has started entering the preview program yet. But so these other two are coming. The final versions of these apps should be available this calendar year. So if you want to start kicking the tires, get into the preview program now.
Nice. Link. It was Link.
Now Skype for Business.
And your code name of the week?
Code name of the week is Athens. Athens was the code name for Windows 10 for IoT. Now, this is a little confusing because we mentioned on July 29th that Windows 10 for IoT RTM'd and that you could download the bits at that point. Microsoft just got around to blogging about this week, so a lot of people didn't think Windows 10 for IoT RTM'd till a couple days ago, but it actually already did. It's been out since July 29th. There are two different versions. There's a version for Raspberry Pi 2. There's a version for the Minnow board. Is that what it's called?
I don't know that. Yeah.
Yeah, the Minnow board Max, which is, that's the x86 version of Windows 10 for IoT Core.
Yeah.
And Raspberry Pi 2 is the ARM version. So what Windows 10 for IoT Core is it's a very slimmed down version of Windows 10 for embedded devices. It doesn't obviously have the Windows shell, but what it does is lets you as a developer build applications on that same Windows 10 core that's going to be carried across all these different platforms, and your application will become the face of whatever you build for these boards. Big for the maker community, big for the embedded device community. You can go get the bits. They're free. So that's Microsoft did a lengthy blog post. And if you want to go read more details and get all the links where you can download, just go to the Windows blog and you'll see all of that.
Basically, you get Windows services for your app.
Yeah.
So it makes it easy. Yep. That's nice. I think that's a great.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is yet another flavor of Windows 10 has now been released into the world.
You know, it'd be great if that. Go ahead, Paul.
No, they never mentioned Arduino. Which I believe they had supported during the preview. And it seems like that just kind of disappeared.
Huh, that's a good point. I wonder what's up with that. Not sure.
I could tell you what's up with me. Fine, kleine, stouted. Right now would be very delicious.
It would.
Your beer of the week.
My beer of the week comes from Hood River, Oregon. It's a really interesting brewery called Logsdon. They do a lot of saisons there. But they also do this really interesting hybrid beer, which is a combination of a sour and a stout.
Ooh.
I know. When people first hear that, they're like, oh, whoa, a sour stout? But it actually is really refreshing.
Good.
Yeah, it's not as heavy as a stout.
Right.
It's called Kleiner Stoutard is the name of it. And it's around 6%. It's a really nice stout, very refreshing because it has that element of sour. It's not super sour. It just has a little tinge of sour that makes it nice. So I was thinking, you know how we always talk about hybrid cloud? This is a hybrid beer.
Yep. It's the hybrid cloud of beer.
It is. It's the hybrid cloud of beers.
Nice.
Yeah. So yeah, if you get to try it, it's called the Logsdon Kleiner Stoutard.
Kleiner Stoutard.
A little hard to say.
Logsdon Farmhouse Ales.
Yeah, their beers are delicious. If you ever get a chance to try any, if you like saisons and sours, these guys do some amazing ones.
I like both. Thanks to you. Yep. You introduced me to them. Mary Jo Foley will introduce you to everything you need to know about Microsoft at her website, allaboutmicrosoft.com. That's the ZDNet blog she's famous for. Paul Paul Thurrott writes at Thurrott.com. That's the blog he's famous for. And both of them are famous for appearing each and every Wednesday on Windows Weekly, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC at twit.tv. So if you want to watch live, I encourage you to do so. You can also join us in studio. We don't get a lot of people in studio during the week, but you're more than welcome to. Tickets at twit.tv. Todd, join us from Colorado. Nice to have you today. Tickets at twit.tv. And, of course, you can always get on-demand versions of our shows in your favorite podcast app or use one of the great Twit apps. Dimitri Lee Allen wrote a really nice one for Windows. Apparently he's working on a new one using the new API. That'll be fun. Look for it in the Microsoft App Store. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Mary Jo. We'll see you back home next week. You'll be a little groggy.
Yeah.
Now.
Actually, you won't be groggy till after the show. Then it'll be bedtime.
Yeah.
Yep. You'll be like, all right, good night.
Good night, everybody. You know, enjoy a little escargot and rosé for me.
I will.
I'll see you all next time on Windows Weekly. Bye-bye.